sat for a while this morning just listening to it and watching it, and I just enjoyed every minute of it, the windows open, and just listening to it as it rained. And thank God for the simple things in life, like rain. Amen. But it's good to be here this morning. I'm sorry we wasn't able to work out with the internet, so we'll have to wait and try to fix that problem for next week. But we're glad we're here. We're looking forward to being with you almost every Sunday of the month so that we can worship together. And I hope and pray the Lord would richly bless us as we spend time with Him on Sunday mornings. I want you to take your Bible if you have one. If not, just read along with me. I want to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. I want to read the first 17 verses. I know that's a little long, but I want to read the first 17 verses of John chapter 3. It says in verse 1, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And here comes our text for this morning, very well known around the globe. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world." You know, there's no other scripture in the entire Word of God more familiar and more often quoted than that of John 3:16. On every continent and in every language known to man, John 3:16 has spanned the globe and touched the hearts of every nation. Even in those nations where they don't have a Bible yet, John 3:16 is always translated first. It's a message that has spanned the globe and truly touched every nation. No verse of Scripture has ever been more quoted than John 3:16. And yet these amazing words were not spoken during the famous Sermon on the Mount when he was surrounded by multitudes, nor during the time of daylight when multitudes were often gathered around him, but, beloved, under the veil of darkness, and that to a single man who is curious, a religious man, a ruler of the Jews, a master of Israel, snuck out at night to ask our Lord a question. And under the darkness of night, to one man, our Lord expresses or declares John 3:16. What an amazing truth. You figure, Lord, it would be best if that was spoken on the Sermon on the Mount when there were thousands of people there, because everybody should hear this. And yet our Lord spoke it under the veil of darkness to one man. And yet the whole world knows of John 3:16. You know, there's a wonderful illustration there. You might believe that God loved the world, but do you believe that God loved you enough to give His Son for you, to die for you, so that you might be saved? In broad daylight and under the veil of darkness, in the city or in a desert place, amongst the multitude or beside a lonely well, be they rich, be they poor and blind and a beggar, a woman caught in adultery or a master of religion, beloved, no place or no one was denied the free mercy and grace of Him who came to seek and to save that which was lost. He had no respect of persons. If you were a master of religion, or whether you was a harlot, whether you was a woman caught in adultery or a blind beggar Bartimaeus, whether you was filled with leprosy or rich like the rich young ruler, paid no attention to the Lord. He simply preached the message of free love, mercy and grace to every man, woman and child, regardless of culture, race, language, position, sick or health. For though amongst themselves they were separated by wealth, culture and sickness, yet beloved in the eyes of God they had all things in common. Namely, they were all sinners. The Lord said, you might be a master of Israel, but you're still a sinner. You might be full of leprosy, but you're still a sinner. You might be a woman who's married, been married seven times, and the husband you're married with now, the man you're married with now or living with is not your husband, but you're still a sinner. It didn't matter who they were, what position they held in life. It didn't matter if they were rich or poor, sick or healthy. Our Lord seen all mankind as being one. There's an old gospel song that says the ground at the foot of the cross is level. No one is better than the next. Amongst men we judge one another according to position and prestige and wealth and culture and race. Yet in the eyes of God all mankind stand on one level. We're all sinners. Sinners in need of grace. Sinners in need of a salvation. And yet it was this one thing that all had in common, this one terrible thing which moved God to send His Son into the world. Because we were sinners. For God so loved the world. Not speaking of the things of the world, but He's saying God so loved the world, mankind, humanity. And it's amazing. It would be enough that God would not condemn the world because we offended God. Romans chapter 3 said that we've all fallen short of the glory of God, that we're all sinners and we were all full of unrighteousness. We offended God. We were born sinners into the world. That God would not condemn the world would be just enough, but that God would love the world goes far beyond any human imagination or logic. We choose to love those who love us in return. We dare not love someone who hates us and who is our enemy. Yet God loved the world. God so loved the world. And how much did God love the world? That He gave His only begotten Son. Beloved, that's a love that human logic and reasoning could never fathom. If we've lived all our lives studying the great love of God, we would never scratch the surface because it's greater than anything we've ever known or ever will know. God had every right in the world to condemn the whole world. And yet God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Our Lord said in Luke chapter 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why He came into the world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He also said in Matthew chapter 9, for they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And in 31 years in Germany, we preached often on the streets. 14 years we preached on the street every Saturday morning. We was out there preaching on the streets. And we'd preach to the drug addicts and the homeless over in a bad part of town. We'd bring them food and clothing. Every week for 14 years we did that. And one of the major problems we had in Germany was that Germans didn't believe they were sinners. I'm not a sinner. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't commit adultery. I didn't rob a bank. I'm not a sinner. I give quite a bit of money to the religious world, to the third country, world countries. One of the hardest things we had in Germany was convincing a German that they were a sinner because they did not want to believe that they were a sinner. And yet that's not limited to a country in Germany. Even in America, people don't consider themselves sinners. Yet you know, it's exactly for the sinner for whom Christ died. So if I'm not a sinner, Christ, in all practicality, didn't die for me. If I think I'm righteous. Oh, beloved, I know that humbles us to think that we're sinners and in the eyes of God we have nothing but our righteousness or nothing of filthy rags. And yet, that's the reason Christ came into the world. This is what moved, if I could say so, this is what moved the heart of God to send His Son into the world because He pitied sinners. So though sin is a terrible, horrific thing, on one side, we thank God for sin that could give us such a Savior as Jesus Christ. That sounds almost strange, doesn't it? And yet that's what moved God to give His own Son. Pity on the sinner. And it's within this amazing verse that we see the unmerited and free mercy and grace and love of God manifested in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. I want you to notice it starts with God loving the world, not the world loving God. It doesn't even say the world loves God. As a matter of fact, Scripture teaches that the world didn't like God. Again, Romans chapter 3. Time does not avail me to turn there, but Romans chapter 3 said, "None seeketh after God." I didn't wake up one day and decide that I'd seek God. God sought me. We love Him because He first loved us. For God so loved the world. He's the one that made the first move towards sinners. He's the one that initiated salvation. He so loved the world that He gave His own Son. It all begins with God. If it was not for God, we'd all be in a terrible condition. Unprovoked and undeserved. It was God's love for a sinful world that would move Him to give His only begotten Son. Nothing in us moved God to love us. I know that's kind of strange to hear because we like to think that there's something good in us. That we have something worth loving in us. Well, maybe when we compare ourselves with others, but when we compare ourselves with God, the Bible teaches there's nothing in us that made us lovable or acceptable in the sight of God. If all our righteousness are as filthy rags and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, then there's nothing within inside of us that would provoke God to love us. Why then did God love us? Out of free mercy, love, and grace. Oh, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, the old hymn says. Oh my soul, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. What wondrous love is this? Romans chapter 5 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Listen to what Paul says. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, pre-adventure, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth," manifested, gave clear evidence, full proof. "God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see that? Why we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why we were yet separated from God. Why we were yet at enmity with God. Why we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us while we still didn't love Him. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The love of God is something we'll never comprehend. But it was the love of God for the world that sent Christ into the world. And beloved, it was a love unprovoked and unmerited, undeserved. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say, I'll make you good and then I'll die for you. He said, no, while you're in the depths of your sin, while you're at enmity with me, while in your heart you hate and despise me, while you're in that condition, Christ died for you so that He might save you from that condition and reconcile you with God. That's the gospel. That's what salvation's all about. John 17, our Lord said, this is eternal life. Here it is, a declaration. This is eternal life, that they might know Thee. For that to happen, Christ had to die while we were yet sinners. So that between God and sinful man, we would have a mediator who took our place, died as our representative, bore the curse for us, so that he could now turn to a God who had been offended and said, it's been appeased. The price has been paid. Now the sinner can be reconciled to God perfectly. Therefore, God says, then I will love you with an everlasting love. And it's all because God so loved the world. That no man boast of any merit. For it was God who commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners. And that was evidence, that was manifested, that was shown in God giving His only begotten Son. I want you to realize that. For God so loved the world. How much did God love the world? How much did God love mankind, all mankind? How much did God love the world that He gave His only begotten Son? You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, it took 6 days. God spoke, and it was done. What a mighty God. I don't know about you, but I came close to having a terminal illness about 10 years ago in Germany. Almost took my life, and that changed my whole view of life. And you know what? I began looking at God's creation differently. I noticed things now I never noticed before, like the blowing of the wind through the trees, the rustling of the leaves, the birds singing, that first spring flower, the rising of the sun as it gleams or beams through the clouds in the morning, the rainbow in the sky after a heavy rain, all those small things of God's creation. And I think how wonderful and glorious God is. I've been to the Swiss Alps. I've been to southern France. I've been to England and Scotland. I've been from the west coast to the east coast. I've been to the Rockies. I've seen some wonderful things and amazed at God's wonderful, beautiful creation. You stand out here, especially in Coleman, at nighttime with no city lights on a clear spring or summer night, and you see billions of stars and you think, what a glorious God we have that can just speak and create all of that. And yet He could not speak away my sin. He could not just speak and it be gone. He had to give His only begotten Son to pay for my sins. That was a price far above anything we could ever imagine. He gave His only begotten Son. Would you give your child's life to save the life of another one if it meant taking the life of your own son? Hardly. That's why Paul said, scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Scarcely if it was for a righteous man. But to have your child die in the place of another one who hated him and you, you would say, God forbid that I'd ever do that. He's not worthy of such a sacrifice. Yet God did. While we were yet sinners, while you and I were yet at enmity with God, while you and I hated God. An old preacher said one time, if a sinner could, he'd climb up to heaven and he'd kill God. That's how bad sin is. It separates us from God. Oh, the gulf that separated us from God, the old hymn says. It was tremendous. That's why Adam hid in the garden, you remember? He heard the voice of God. And Adam hid himself. Why? He was afraid. He didn't have that intimate fellowship with God anymore. Something had happened and he was fearful. He was afraid. He covered himself. I am not worthy. I am filthy in the sight of God. And so he sought to hide himself. That's what sin has done. And the only way to purge and cleanse that sin is by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. He gave His only begotten Son. What did He give Him to? For what purpose and what means? It says He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son by laying on Him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah says. He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Paul said in 2 Corinthians. How did He give His Son? He gave His Son. What does He mean? He gave His Son. Well, He gave His Son because He wounded Him for our transgressions. He bruised Him for our iniquities. He was chastened for our peace. And He carried our sorrows and our grief. That's what it means when it says God gave His Son. He gave His Son for that. That's how God gave His Son. So next time you read John 3:16, don't just think about God just giving over His Son like, here's my Son. He gave Himself, or gave His Son by wounding Him, by chastening Him, by laying our iniquities upon Him, our sickness upon Him. He poured His wrath upon the Son of God in such a way that on Calvary, the Son of God Himself cried out and said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? That's how God gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What amazing! In the midst of such love, He speaks of perishing. You see the difference? If we don't believe in Him whom God gave, God says, then you'll perish. But if you believe in Him whom I gave, whom I wounded, whom I bruised, whom I made sin, who knew no sin, if you believe in Him, if you truly believe in Him who I gave, then you'll have eternal life and you'll not perish. Is that all, God? You gave so much. Is there not something I have to do? Is there not something I have to change? Don't I have to do something? God says, no. If you believe in Him whom I gave, then you'll have eternal life. The jailer came out. Remember when Paul was singing in prison and they thought he was gone? The jailer came out and cried, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by faith are you saved through grace. And that not of yourself, that is a gift of God. Oh God, but that just seems so easy, so simple. You gave so much, and you only asked me to have faith in your Son, whom you gave. Yeah. Oh God, that is grace beyond all measure. I could never fathom that. By simply believing in Him, my sins are forgiven, and I'm brought into an eternal fellowship with the Almighty God. He'll be my Father, Christ will be my brother, simply by believing in Him whom you gave for my sins. That whosoever, let me close with this. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, single, whosoever. You see, it doesn't matter whether you believe that God loved the world or not. But do you believe that God gave His only begotten Son for you? We can say, well, God loved the whole world. Well, yeah, He did. But do you know that God loved you? Do
You know something of this personal love? Have you accepted Christ? Have you believed in Him as the only Savior of all men? That's what all matters. That's what it boils down to. Not whether I believe God loved the whole world. Do I know that God loved me enough that His Son would take my place and pay for my sins? Why do you say that? Well, because salvation is an individual thing. You notice how Christ always dealt with individuals? Amazing, isn't it? Whether it's Mary Magdalena, or he that was possessed by the legion of devils, or blind Bartimaeus, or the woman had the issue of blood, even Nicodemus late at night, he always dealt with individuals when it came down to salvation. He said, "Oh, God so loved the world, yes He did, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, individually, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life." You see, dear friend, when you come to that point to realize that God not only loved the whole world, but He loved me enough that His Son would take my place, that's when salvation takes part. That old hymn says, "What Thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine, mine was the transgression, but Thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior. 'Tis I deserve Thy place. Look on me with Thy favor. Vouchsafe to me Thy grace." So it's wonderful to know that God loved the whole world. But the most important thing is, am I one of the whosoever who believes that Christ came to take my place and died in my place and was bruised for me and my iniquities were laid upon Him? If I can believe that, then I'll never perish, but I'll have eternal life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Why? The world was already condemned. But He came to save. You see? Thank God that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The question this morning, my dear friend, is, are we one of the whosoever believeth in Him? Then we shall never perish, but will have everlasting life. Amen. What a glorious God. What a merciful God. Grace, which is amazing. And that's all unprovoked and unmerited. Never forget, it was God who loved, or so loved the world, that He gave, that you and I might have eternal life. May God grant us grace to embrace that. If you're a Christian this morning, you know the Lord Jesus Christ, never forget that. Never forget the great love God manifested in giving His Son. When I survey the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died, we shall never, never lose the image of the cross and our thankfulness to God for what He did for us to save us from our sins. If you've never known Christ as your Savior, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that you, whosoever believeth in Him, should not perish, but have eternal life. May God be praised. May we thank Him for His unspeakable gift, that He would bruise His own Son, wound Him, chasten Him, lay upon Him all our iniquities. And you know what? The most amazing thing is, Isaiah 53 said, it pleased the Father to bruise Him so that we might be saved. What a glorious Savior we have. May we give God glory this day. May we thank Him. May we dwell on Christ and His sacrifice. And may that encourage and inspire our hearts to love Him more. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord God, for Thy Word. We thank You for these blessed people who came out this morning. How we do pray that, God, You would stir in our hearts. We do pray, O God, that we would never lose that picture of Calvary. But, Lord, we'd always find ourselves at the foot of the cross, surveying, Lord, the sacrifice that You gave for us. And, Lord, may we ever, 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 as Thy children, give You praise, honor, and glory for loving us so freely. Pray that You'd be with those this morning who know not Christ. Open up their hearts to Thy Word. Oh God, we pray. Let them see and believe. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming out this morning. I appreciate it. Appreciate you.